Okay, 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 okay. Welcome to Potty Swap. We're doing a mini swap right now, and we are here to continue our journey on discussing
the Freaky Friday universe.
The Freakiverse.
Oh, I don't know if I like that.
Frediverse? We're workshopping it. We'll come up with a better name for the Freaky Friday films, books, other tangible things that are connected to Freaky Friday. We established in our previous mainline episode where we discussed the 1976 film Freaky Friday, starring Jodie Foster. It was actually based on a book.
That was news to me.
The original, the 1976.
I was not aware, which I would think that during the opening 15-minute credits, it would have said based on the book.
Maybe it did. My eyes started to glaze over a little bit during the beginning of that song.
I think I might have tuned out.
That song, again, though, to be fair.
That was a bop.
It was a bop. But I needed to start recording this right away because Kevin and I started talking about the idea of an interracial body swap. Why has this not happened?
And the question being, at what point in time would you do it? Like, there's so many different directions that you could go in with that.
So you're saying time-wise, like in like the 80s? Or
whether it's the 80s, whether it's now, whether it's during the Civil War? Like, there's a lot of different...
Okay, I want to see a body swap movie in the Civil War with North versus South swap.
There's so many aspects. Oh, I whistled when I said that. Did you hear that? There's so many aspects that we could do. There was... Oh, what was the name? Was it Changing Lanes?
Oh, with Ben Affleck and was it Sam Jackson or was it...
I think it was Sam Jackson. But that was sort of like the cultures were switched.
Yes.
So it wasn't like a body swap.
It was not a body swap. And I feel like, I mean, again, I haven't looked through every body swap movie, but I don't believe we have seen this.
Interesting side note.
Yeah.
It is because of that movie that I salt in my ketchup. True story. I put salt in my ketchup and dip my fries in it because it sticks to the ketchup and not the fries.
That's
wake
actually...
up, America! Fucking idiots.
Fucking idiots.
So, salt your ketchup.
Salt your ketchup, and if you have a shitload of money, go ahead and fund our future body swap movie based on race relations. Because there's no two better people in this world than Kevin Castro and myself to be able to discuss race relations and being a black person in America today or in any other timeline, time frame. We're the ones to do it.
I can't say it any better myself.
Exactly. So again, we're just kind of doing a little, so in between our main episodes, in between when we discuss the feature films of the Freakyverse.
This is just a little something to wet the whistle.
To wet the whistle in
like,
between.
Here's the way I look at it. I'm assuming if you listen to this, you like it.
I hope so.
So,
or you hate it. There's only two extremes of why you're listening to this.
And that's the thing, too. Is it us that you hate or is it that self-loathing? Let's talk about that for a second. You go first.
I mean, I hate myself.
Oh, I was talking to our listeners.
Oh, sorry. Shit. Hold for edit.
I would think that this is just a little something to sort of be like, oh, you know, I'm kind of sad that there's not a potty swap episode. What?
Right.
What? A little 15-minute blurb? A 20-minute?
Yeah,
a
because
45-minute podcast?
Yeah.
A six-hour podcast?
A six-hour mini episode is exactly what the people have been clamoring for?
That's what I've been hearing. That's what my ex-feed has been.
Oh, your ex is on a feed?
Yes.
Oh, I feel so bad for them. I mean, we've been releasing our episodes every other week, so there's usually that off week where we don't really have anything going on.
So would that be every week?
it would kind of turn it into an ever. So we're doing this just we're really just doing this for the Freakiverse. And again, still we're holding off on what that name could be, but until I get something better, that's what we're calling.
Unifreak? No, I don't like that.
I don't like that. No, not at all.
Straight garbage. Ugh.
But in between our main episodes, while we go through the filmography of the Freaky Friday movies, we're going to talk about some of the other things
that have been freakified.
That have been freakified. And we're going to go to the first freakification when we discuss the 1972 book Freaky Friday.
Titled
Freaky Friday by Mary Rogers, who we mentioned in the last episode was the screenwriter.
Yes, of the original.
Of the original. So, okay.
The OG.
And in doing my research, Kevin, I'm here to blow your mind.
Mind loves to be blown.
Well, get ready, because I'm going to blow. But I do not. Never mind. I'm not going to finish that. So, okay. Freaky Friday is a children's novel written by Mary Rogers. It was first published in 1972. It has been adapted for several films. And the story features a day in the life of 13-year-old Annabelle Andrews and her mother, who spend the day in each other's bodies. It may be considered a modern retelling of Vice Versa, A Lesson to Fathers, an 1882 novel in which the protagonists are father and son.
Hold up. Hold the fuck up. 18 what?
1882, just like 10 years before George Burns was born.
So does that mean that the Vice Versa movie starring
Fred Savage and Judge Reinhold
was based off that fucking book?
I don't know. That I don't know.
What could have been going on in, what was it, 18 what?
1882.
What are they going to swap?
Let me give you...
Like, what's going on in 1882 that you're like, hey, you go milk this cow now? It's like, I'm already milking the cow. That's my job.
Let me go ahead and read you the synopsis. Set in Victorian London, via a magic stone from India, a father and son switch places, thus live each other's lives and gain a better understanding for each other before they switch back. I figured since it was in Victorian London.
That was great. I thought it was a young Paul McCartney.
So the movie is the 1882 book.
The novel,
set in contemporary Victorian times. The novel concerns businessman Paul Bullitude.
Fake name.
And his son Dick.
So
I'm 100% serious in all this.
Well, that's the bloody best part of the whole thing.
Ooh, you're like a fucking Guy Ritchie Cockney. I like that.
The fact his name is Dick. His name is fucking Dick.
Now I want a body swap movie with Jason Statham.
Oh, Jason Statham.
It's me, Jason Statham. I'm a transporter.
I'm gonna body swap with who am I swapping with?
Zach Galifianakis.
I can't do a Zach Galifianakis. I'm gonna fucking swap with Andrew Dice Clay. Hey! Hey, I'm fucking, who the fuck am I now, huh?
Bop!
I forgot his fucking name mid-sentence.
Jason Statham.
I'm like, hey, I'm fucking Jason Sudeikis. I'm like, no, that's the wrong guy.
You established it 15 seconds ago.
Nope, already gone. Thanks, White Claw Surge. Right, I'm drinking a bloody White Claw Surge. Forgot my bloody line. Gotta sit there and gotta transport.
So, Paul. I don't know. So, Paul Bullitude and his son Dick. Dick is about to leave home to return to a boarding school And before, as he sees his son a little bit scared about returning to boarding school, asserts that school days are the best years of the boy's life, and he wishes that he were the one going to boarding school. And at this point, thanks to a magic stone brought by an uncle from India, which grants the possessor one wish, the father becomes a boy identical to his son. They are now on even terms. Dick, holding the stone, is ordered by his father to return him to his own body. But Dick refuses and decides instead to become a man identical to how his father looked before the change. Mr. Bullitude has to begin the new term at his son's school, while Dick gets a chance to run his father's business in the city. In the end, both are restored to their own bodies with a better understanding of each other.
So, that's a really complicated body swap. So they both wish.
They each have to literally hold the magic India stone from those damn Indians. And I mean, not the Native Americans.
I hope his name was Cock. I want my name to be Bloody Cork.
Cork Galifianakis Dice Clay.
Bop.
Did you say mop or bop?
I said bop, but it sounded kind of Muppety.
Mop.
Oh.
Muppet body swap
did we
movie?
Discuss this already?
I don't know if we
think we might have. If not, why the fuck haven't we talked about a Muppet body swap?
I don't know, but this...
I am like 98. It's so sad that we don't know this offhand.
Well, okay, but the first episode we recorded 2.5 years ago.
It wasn't. No, this would have been.
Okay.
This would have been like a heavily alcohol induced episode because I want to say that we even reached out to Jim Henson's kid.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. Okay. We did.
Oh, we're sad. I think we have a problem. And this is now the Intervention Podcast.
Well, I'm going to hold this magical stone from India and wish that I transformed into a body that looked like my father's.
That's kind of weird, though. Like, you have one wish, be like, I want to look like my kid.
Yeah. I mean, it's 1882. So you're going to.
What would you wish for? You have one wish.
Today.
Yes. You have the Indian stone in your hand. You have one wish.
Probably a pancreas. I mean, just for the listeners, I'm a diabetic, and I would like a pancreas that produces insulin. So that's probably what I would wish
for. If it was
for.
A monkey paw, though, which would just be in your hand.
You're right. That I would have to be very specific.
You
got to
be very specific. World peace, obviously.
Really?
Piece of ass.
Oh!
Hey! Oh, Jason Statham wants to get a little.
Man, I hope I don't get stuck in Andrew Clay's body. That would really be unfortunate. He was barely on SNL.
He was banned, wasn't he?
Yeah, he got it.
Has Jason Statham ever host SNL?
I'm gonna.
Why not?
He should be a permanent host, like a resident.
And if you think about it, Jason Statham does mention the face-off surgery. And
he does in Spy. Listen, I'm actually a huge Jason Statham fan, and I will watch any movie with him in it.
I agree. I almost watched The Beekeeper the other day.
I want to see The Beekeeper strictly because of him.
Yes.
No other reason.
Crank. Fantastic.
Crank 2. Electric High Boogaloo. Voltage.
Fantastic.
So... Right.
I kind of won't talk to him for the rest of the series of the podcast.
Oh, man. We will be canceled immediately. I don't know how we get canceled on a podcast, but we find a way.
All right. I'll stop bloody doing it.
What I find interesting about this plot, this book, is that, like, it's not a one-day type of deal. He's going off to spend, I would assume, like, a semester as the son at school.
Now, did you read this book?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
This is just
for the listeners, I didn't read shit.
I read the book. I read most of the book, and then I did the audio book for the last half.
I'll allow it.
And then I did a little bit of research and came upon the fact that this was... may have been inspired. Mary Rogers has never said, oh, one of my favorite books is this 1882 book, vice versa.
So in a similar situation, the Twilight books. The Twilight books and the...
50 Shades of Grey?
No.
Oh.
No, that was fan fiction.
Yes. I think that's where you're going.
No, the... oh, my God. Why am I so stupid? Thank you, White Claw. True Blood.
Oh, okay.
Complete ripoff.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Complete bloody ripoff.
A lot more tits in True Blood, though.
Yeah, I'm going to rewrite Twilight with more titties.
Give the werewolf titties, is that what you're saying? Yes. I love my werewolf titties.
I love bloody werewolf titties. Right on teat.
I get in the sun and I start sparkling because I'm a goddamn vampire.
Right. We're gonna sparkle in the sunlight. What the fuck is
I don't happening? Know what's happening. Okay, let's get back to Freaky Friday. So here's what I want to say. The book itself is essentially the same thing. 13-year-old Annabelle wakes up in the morning, first page.
They don't explain it. It just sort of happens.
I'm in my mother's body. Now, in 1970...
If we could just take that clip. I'm sorry, go on.
The differences between the book and the movie, she wakes up in bed.
So they don't really explain what... Do they ever explain what happens?
No.
Interesting.
And when I say wakes up in bed, her husband is in his bed.
Oh, no.
Because they are in separate beds. It's 1972.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But she wakes up with her curlers in her hair. And
much like they did in the days.
They did in the days.
I go to bed every night with curlers in my hair.
Would you want to have separate beds?
I'm a snorer. I'm sure that some people
might appreciate
that.
You're still in the same room
that.
In theory.
Okay.
So we'd still hear the snore.
No, I don't know. I like a big bed. I like big beds and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny.
Annabelle in this story is not surprised by the transformation into her mother's body.
Odd.
She seems very okay with it. And
odder?
You know, she tries to, like, she kind of recaps, like, a previous conversation with the mom where she establishes, like, I wish I could be you. And the basic Freaky Friday setup. So they kind of reverse engineer it. But there's never a moment where they were like, I wish I was in your body for just one day. That never happens. It's just she wakes up in the morning. She's in her mother's body. She immediately wakes up Daddy to try to see if she can trick Daddy.
Oh, no.
She's like, oh, do I look different? And she had already put makeup on and then went to wake up her father to be like, don't I look pretty? He's like, yeah, you look pretty, but why are you doing yourself up so early? We haven't even had breakfast yet.
Slightly awkward.
It gets worse.
I wake up every morning feeling like P. Diddy. That's a topical
okay,
reference,
Kesha.
Right?
Okay, do you brush your teeth with a bottle of Jack?
It's Castra.
Oh. I love that. We'll get Castra shirts up next to go with the Hamers. So the dynamic between Annabelle in her mother's body and the dad is already a little off for me.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. This entire book is told strictly from the narrative of Annabelle. The mom is not involved in the story. For the majority of the story, it is strictly on Annabelle's day.
Oh.
Right.
Oh. So Walt Disney read this book and was like, we gotta put this on film.
I'm pretty sure, but was Walt Disney just a floating head at this point, or is he still...
I don't believe in those rumors.
Oh, okay. yeah, so... Annabelle in her mother's body goes and wakes up Annabelle. And Annabelle wakes up and is acting like Annabelle. And so very early on in the story, Annabelle in her mother's body is like, oh, I guess I'm just here for the day while Annabelle goes off and does her school day.
I wish people could see the confused look on my face, right? Like, I realize I have not said anything.
I was kind of shocked by this. I was expecting like alternate chapters where it was like one chapter is the daughter, one chapter is the mother, like them going back and forth with their day. It is not. The entire day is just Annabelle in her mother's body.
And this was like, this is like a what's the word I want?
I don't
like
know.
A popular.
I mean,
you're like, how the fuck would I know what word you want? Words, dipshit. This was like a popular. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't even know this was a book.
Yeah,
I didn't even know what a book is. I've never held a book. I can't read, is what I'm trying to say. I don't know how to read.
Is that true?
No.
Everything but the reading part. Yeah, it's. I mean, it clearly was popular enough to be optioned for a movie.
Was it, though?
I don't know.
Okay. But I don't know. I'm confused.
So I was confused. So the majority of the story goes along where Annabelle just assumes that she gets to have a day in her mom's body. Her mom is floating in the ether and that their Annabelle is in Annabelle's body as well.
What?
It's very weird. So Annabelle in her mother's body continues to just have a random day of basically the same adventures that she experienced in the movie. There's a few differences. There's a weird conversation with her mother. Like, she does a daily 9 a.m. phone call with her mother. Like, Ellen does a 9 a.m. phone call with her mother, so technically Annabelle's grandmother. And there's a long interlude about, like, going to see her, the grandmother, for, like, a holiday for 4th of July. It's very boring. And then there's a very, again, awkward back and forth between Annabelle and Daddy. And Annabelle really just wants to go to a dinner and movie with Daddy. And the movie that they choose is apparently kind of considered a dirty movie.
Behind the Green Door? Not that I know what that is.
The entire exchange, because again, it's kind of the same thing that happens in the movie, which we never really talked about in the movie, but it was like, John asked, like, basically the dad, like, was like, and it's like $800 for camp. And like, Annabelle, like, is like spending too much money on clothes for Annabelle. And like, the mom has to be like, I'm sorry, sweetheart. Like, I won't do that again.
So to try to put a positive spin on it, we could say that it is like a girl looking to spend time with her dad.
Yes.
But there's lines.
To wear a sexy black dress and to go to dinner and then go see a semi-1972 dirty movie.
Debbie does what?
Debbie does Friday.
Okay.
And it felt really weird to me. Like,
so let me ask you something.
Okay.
On a personal level.
Yes.
Was it better to read it or listen to it?
The problem with listening to it is that the narrator, who did a good job of narrating, but she
was Jason Statham.
I wish it was Jason. Now I'm going to talk like somebody that's not Jason Statham. Hi, it's me, Jason Statham. Like, she did her own funny voices for different characters.
Did they work?
No.
Oh.
Not really.
Right.
So, the other big, like, crux of this scene between Daddy and Annabelle is you have to go to the liquor store, and here's $20. Buy me two bottles of gin, a bottle of bourbon, two bottles of vodka. Like, can you imagine going to the liquor store?
I wish.
The amount of money, the amount of alcohol that you can get with that amount of money. And that's, like, you're not spending the full $20.
And you know that alcohol is much better than the shit that's out now.
Oh, yeah. It's probably got opium in it.
Oh, by opium.
Yeah, so that plot really has a, I have a problem with that. And the rest of the day pretty much kind of go. There is another housekeeper, Mrs. Schnauz. The conversation between Annabelle and Mrs. Schnauz becomes very racist. And in 1972, they do not pull punches, talking about coloreds and Spanish people who I will not say.
Walt Disney, what did you do?
I mean, this is pre-Walt Disney. This is Mary Rogers.
But this is the birth
of the body swap.
Yes.
So
I'm going to change it. I'm going to say that the birth of the body swap is that 18...
Vice versa.
Yes.
The 1882 novella. So Boris is also involved in this storyline. The same story is Adenoids.
Same actor.
And he immediately is like falling in love with Annabelle as Ellen. And then Annabelle has to go pick up Apeface from school. That is almost like page for page verbatim. That entire story is pretty much the same. Then Ellen has to go to a school meeting, same as in the movie, where they have to talk to the teachers and find out about Annabelle. So Boris agrees to watch Apeface and cook dinner, just like in the movie. But then this is where things kind of churn a little weird. So Annabelle, as Ellen, gets to the school, talks to the teachers, and like it's kind of the same thing where she's too smart for her own good. She's kind of like she's got a high IQ, but she's just a lazy student and all that shit. And then when Annabelle as Ellen gets home, there are 15 girls in the house because they have an after school club. And they're all like going crazy. Instead of a water skiing event, the dad is having two clients over for dinner, a last minute dinner. So that's what Boris is making as a dinner.
So is this client Jeffrey Epstein?
Yes. then Annabelle kicks all her friends out of the house as her mother. She goes to find Boris. Boris has left the house and Apeface is missing. So this is where things turn a little dark, whereas Annabelle is starting to lament the fact that she lost her brother. She can't find her mother because she finds out that kid Annabelle skipped school for the day. So then she starts to question whether or not maybe mom was in Annabelle's body, or maybe Annabelle just did an Annabelle thing and just drove off and got run over by a car or raped and murdered.
This is taking all sorts of...
It gets darker. She then calls the police to try to find herself, Annabelle, in Annabelle's body, and Apeface, who is missing and kidnapped by a beautiful woman that took him out for ice cream. That's what Boris said.
So Boris saw this woman?
Yes.
Awkward.
And did not know who it was. Because she was so beautiful.
I'm Boris, and I'm making you meatloaf, and it's going to be delicious.
This woman was so beautiful, I didn't know what to do, so I just gave it the boy.
Yep. So she calls the cops and says that if she can't find these missing people, she's just going to slit her own throat or throw herself out the window of their apartment to kill herself.
And this is a kid's book.
This is a kid's book!
70s were a fucked up time.
70s were a fucked up time.
They sure were, Jason Statham. So the clients show up at the house for dinner, and she asks Boris to show them around the house so Annabelle can go into the bedroom to kill herself and or figure something out. And she starts crying, because I wish I was back in my own body. And boom, she is. And her mother is holding her on the bed.
So it was a dream?
Nope. And she goes, wait, mom, is it really you? Am I back in my own body? Yes, you are, Annabelle. Wait, were you me all day today? Yes, I was, Annabelle.
This is so weird.
And it happens all off book. We'd never know. We don't find out until like the last three pages of what Ellen did on her day in Annabelle's body.
What'd she do?
She went to go read the New York Times in a cafe and skipped school for the day.
kind of boring.
Kind of boring. She did go to the orthodontist to take her Annabelle's braces off. So when she showed up later to take Ape Face for ice cream, she was so beautiful because of those braces being off that Boris did not even recognize her. She did her hair up and dressed her properly.
Swerved.
So it turns out that they did do a Freaky Friday switch, but we just never really found out.
Kind of boring.
It's especially like
I don't think if I read that I'd be like, I got to make this into a movie.
Right.
Face Off the novel? Fuck yeah.
It was not good. And it just kind of ends.
So what does this teach us? Don't read.
Also, there's a bad ending joke where it turns out that Boris was not making meatloaf. He was actually making beetloaf, and that they thought he was just saying it wrong because of his adenoids, but he was actually making a non-meat loaf with beets in it. I paid $7 for this book. I'm throwing it on the ground. It is so fucking stupid.
Let the record show he did legitimately throw it on the ground.
So what I will say is that there are a couple of sequels to this book.
No.
In 2008, they did a Freaky Monday.
That just doesn't roll off the tongue. Why wouldn't you do Manic Monday?
That has some connotations to it.
And suicide and...
I mean, you're right. Absolutely. There is, in this book that I just threw down to the ground, so I'm not going to pick it up again, but there is because this is a reprint. So in this reprint, there is a chapter of Freaky Monday in there, but I don't believe there's any body swapping involved.
So then what was the freaky part of it?
It's just a tough Monday. So you're right. It is a manic Monday. You are correct about that.
Wish it was Sunday. That's my fun day.
It is.
I don't have to run day. Just talking about a manic Monday.
The actual sequel is actually a sequel based on Boris.
That he swaps with somebody?
A Billion for Boris is the name of the book. Came out in 1974. It is technically a Freaky Friday sequel. It is the after effects of the relationship between Boris and Annabelle. No swapping. Just Boris is the main character of the book.
Sounds kind of boring.
And
see what I did there?
I did see that. I like that. And then I'm shockingly just reading this right now. So breaking news here on the mini swap. There was a second sequel published in 1982 called Summer Switch.
So that's a better name.
That's a much better name. In A Billion for Boris, things are back to normal for the Andrews family. It's just a boring story about Boris hanging out with the Andrew family.
Stupid.
And then in Summer Switch, the family once again finds themselves in a body swap situation. Years later, when Ben, Apeface, is a young teenager, he offhandedly wishes he could live life like his business executive father. Okay, so
they were set up for the sequel.
So, but that didn't come out until 1982, which means the John Astin scene in the 70s.
So that might have been why didn't we do this?
Yes. Interesting. Okay.
I don't know.
I'm not going to read that book. Fuck that book.
You know something? Don't read it at all.
Reading is for losers.
What are you going to do? You're going to sit there? You're going to hold a book? Come on. No, who cool holds a book? You think the Fonz ever held a book? I'm going back to Happy Days for some reason.
I mean, if reading a book is cool, consider me Miles Davis.
You think Jason Statham reads books?
Absolutely not.
He beats the bloody shit out of them.
I fucking hate books.
Right, we don't fucking read.
I do transport books because I am a mobile librarian. I don't like them, but I do transport
right,
them.
If you pay me enough, I'll drive them someplace, but I'm not going to bloody read a fucking book. Bloody wanker.
That's right. You tell him, Statham. So yeah, that's Freaky Friday the book.
Can we end it with the reading rainbow?
Absolutely. We can do that.
I said we just cut that out and just end it with that song.
Yep, we can do that. Absolutely.
Yay. That's fucking weird.
It's weird. It's weird. All right.